It was a blessing. I've sat in many programs and chorus programs over the years, and I'm delighted when my heart is motivated to worship. I'm disappointed when I become a critic of how it was sang, but I delight when I have opportunity to worship, and you fulfilled that this morning. The Lord bless you for sharing with us and ministering to us this morning. Well, this morning, we don't have a lot of time to get too excited, too fast, and too long, but there's a few things that are heavy on my heart this morning, and by the grace of God, we want to share some things this morning and try and encourage you on as saints of God in the ways of the believer, all right? So I just want to declare to you this morning at the onset that there is nothing present in this room or in the world around us that has not been defeated by the blood of the Lord Jesus. There is nothing that can stand in the way and that the evil one can use to bring you to the end of the road where there's no hope, because your hope this morning can be in Jesus Christ. Amen? And so I just want us to grab a hold of that. There's nothing that can hold you in bondage and tie you so tight that you can't move and that you can't respond to the call of the gospel, to the call of freedom in Jesus Christ. And I just want to declare that to you this morning. There's no darkness. There's no bond. There's just nothing out there that can hold you, because it's been defeated. It's been defeated at the cross. And Jesus rose, as we heard the young people saying this morning, rose in victory to be an overcomer. And you too can rise in that newness of life. Hallelujah. Is there one of them in the house this morning? Yes, you can be victorious in Jesus Christ. Nothing can hold you down. When you cry out by faith, believing in the Lord Jesus. Well, this morning my heart has been stirred. I drove down the QEW the other day and last night, and all the way down and all the way up, I seen these signs about something that's going to happen on Monday. And I don't even get too excited about it. I'm sorry. I fail to be motivated by an eclipse other than to stand back and see the glory and the creation of God manifest itself before our eyes. But I fail to get excited about the horror and the conspiracy theories and all the things that are going to happen potentially on Monday. It just doesn't motivate me. I'm sorry. And why doesn't it need to motivate us? Because we can be secure in Jesus Christ this morning. It doesn't matter what happens. I don't care how many bombs fall on Monday. It's not going to affect our security in Jesus Christ. Amen? And when we as believers can call on the name of the Lord Jesus, I don't care what's going to happen on Monday. It doesn't really matter, because we can be free in Christ. I was reminded in my meditations over the last days of the Gospel of Matthew, and I'd like to turn there for just a few thoughts this morning while we have a few moments to share the Word of God and take encouragement to rest our souls, to give us perspective, to give us understanding, to give us assurance, to give us peace of mind. I believe that's what the church has been, where we can be at. And if you're not a believer this morning, you have reason to worry. You have reason to fret. You have reason to be bound up. You have reason to not have joy in your heart, not have peace in your heart this morning. But if you have Jesus Christ, you can be free. You can be cleansed. You can be blood washed. You can be changed from this old man into a new man. Chapter 24, verse 3 in the book of Matthew. As he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, "Tell us, when shall these things be, and what shall be the sign of thy coming and the end of the world?" I see three questions here this morning. Three questions, and two of them that Jesus answers. If we follow through and keep on reading here, there's only two of those three questions, get my fingers right, coordinated here, that Jesus answers. I stopped there. I had to think about that for a moment. Because we preach and we teach that God has the answers for all things. Yes, He does. He has the answer for all things that pertain unto life and godliness. But in this particular case, Jesus chose not to answer the third question. And I think that's unique. I think we have to come to rest in our spirits at times that not always will we receive an answer of the thing that our hearts and minds long for. There is that possibility, okay? But as far as your salvation, godliness, and truth, there's no question we have the answers. And we need to rest in that. The one question that Jesus does not answer as to when he will return. And if you want to double check me, you can do that because you can go to the book of Mark in the same story because the writer of Mark declares this. But of the day and the hour knoweth no man. Okay? Don't be sidetracked by the people out there and speakers and YouTube preachers and all kinds of self-proclaimed preachers that begin to identify the day and the hour of the return of the Lord. My Bible, your Bible says we don't know. And we're not going to know. We're not going to find out. But he does answer some of the two other questions that the disciples had. And these questions are relevant to us today. Jesus answered and said unto them, take heed that no man deceive you. I want you to stop and think about that for a minute. The world is full of abundant forms of deception. Ideologies that are put forth that are deception, that are not founded upon truth, that are not founded upon the Word of God. Be careful that no man deceive you. Deception abounds. Let me just give you an example. Am I allowed to do that? Okay, good. In our world as of today, we have a number of people proclaiming global warming. I believe in global warming today. The earth is going to pass away with a great noise. And fire and brimstone is going to take care of this thing. But you and I, the child of God, are not going to be here, praise God. But the phenomenon and the lie that is being perpetrated across our world today, and that is that this earth is going to cease in its existence, and you and I will no longer be able to live. I want you to know that's a lie. That's a lie. God, in his design of the planets and of earth, has made this thing self-sustaining. God has created mechanisms, and far beyond my intelligence, of course, but everybody else's too, that carbon is not an issue. It's not an issue. I'm telling us this morning, there's an example of a lie that's being told to us. Fear ye not, dear people, this morning. It is not an existential threat, if you will, if I can even say the word properly. The threat is deception. The threat is the evil one promoting an evil ideology to bring fear and destruction, unsettledness, a disquieting. It's the evil one that is doing that, dear people. Let's be aware of it. It's deception. Where's another one? There are people that have come along in our world and said, oh, Jesus is there, Jesus is here, or there's a great man of God here. He goes on to say, be careful. Don't be deceived by claims of godhood. Don't be deceived by it. Be not deceived. Be careful what you ingest. Be careful what you are reading. Be careful what you are listening to. Be careful about the influences. And if I may say, the influences of worldliness that come into our midst. It's subtle. It's just a little bit there. Not too much, because if it was too much, you'd notice. But just a little bit. And by it, many are deceived. Let us not be one of them. How do we guard against deception? Know this book. This is truth. It is able to deliver us from deception this morning. And tonight, by the way, and tomorrow, and the next day. The truth of this word will guard against deception. One more. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. That which a man, can you finish it? That shall he also reap. I grew up in a community not far from here. In fact, it's only about 3 miles, 4 miles from here where I was born and raised. And in that community, there was a church that taught and promoted the idea that you sin and sow your wild oats, so to speak, as a young person. And hopefully somewhere along the line, whether it's when you get married or when you join the church or when you are on your deathbed, you will actually end up joining the church, and that will save you. That specific group has pretty well disintegrated. I'm just using an illustration, brothers and sisters, of something that has happened even in our own community. Why did it disintegrate? Because you can't teach your young people and your children to sin and allow them to go into a life of sin and it not come back and affect them. That which a man soweth, so shall he also reap. It will happen. If you sow to the flesh, and if you allow the flesh to live in forms of sin, it can come under the blood. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I'm delighted in that. Amen. But it's going to affect you. It's going to affect you. You see, we can be delivered from the chains of sin, the devil, the flesh, the world, and our fallen nature. But the presence of those things yet remains with us. Do not be deceived. There are many things around us that are going south because of deception. Jesus answered and said unto them, "Take heed that no man deceive you." This morning, I point you to the Word of God. I bring you to the Word of God. And the Word of God is there to bring us to Jesus, to the cross of Calvary, where we can bring it all. You can bring all your garbage, your crud, your bondages, your filth, your nonsense, whatever it is, your rebellion, your weird, whatever it is that has you bound up, you can bring that all to the cross of Jesus Christ. And I guarantee you, he's looking down in love to receive you as you are and change you. Glory. Change you and make you a new creature. I was delighted in my spirit. I heard a gathering here a number of weeks ago from somebody who said, and I didn't expect it from their denomination, I didn't expect it, but the message was, come to the cross no matter how you are. and this was being spoken in the context of modesty. I was blessed. Come to the cross no matter how you are, what kind of a mess you're in, just come to the cross. But then go home and get changed and get clothes on. Wow. Do you mean that's that relevant in our world today? Yes, it is, brothers and sisters. There's much garbage, there's much nonsense, there's much immodesty out there. Come as you are. I don't care what kind of a mess you're in. I don't care if whatever state you find you're in. But when you come to the cross and get saved and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and have been delivered, you will go home a changed person for the glory of God. And you will do what you need to do to honor and glorify God, not yourself. Not yourself. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. Many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. How real is that in our world today? What else does he have to tell us about these questions? Well, he says, and ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that ye be not troubled. It's going to happen, folks. There's going to be nation rise against nation. They're going to start shooting at each other. They're going to do things, and there's going to be rumors and stories that these things are going on. Don't be troubled, dear believers, this morning. Rather, get excited about it, because God is answering the questions of what's going to happen in our world today. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines and pestilence and earthquakes in divers places. There's a article came out not long ago, the percentage of earthquakes in recorded history, and it hasn't been always recorded, but in the time frame in which we live and back, I forget how far it goes back, it's a little over, I better not say it, I don't know exactly, but where recorded earthquakes, that number is increasing. Don't think that God's word is incorrect, or that it's just fluff, and that it may or may not be happening. It is happening. The percentage of these things is increasing dramatically. God is warning us. God is telling us, look up. I'm coming again. Are you ready? These are the beginnings of sorrows. I want to key in on this one for a few minutes this morning. Then shall they deliver you to be afflicted, shall kill you, and ye shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. I'm not going to be hated this morning because my name is Kevin, and you can put your name into that in lieu of mine, please. We're not going to be hated because of who we are. We're going to be hated because of what we represent. That's what Jesus is saying here. Ye shall be hated of all nations because of my name's sake. You see what's going on in our world today. Let's not be deceived again. The world hates Jesus Christ. Satan hates him. There is hatred towards the believer for my name's sake. Because it represents that which is truth, that which is holy, that which is righteous. And there is such a pent-up hatred of the evil one. We've seen it many times. Do you think there was no hatred towards God when Satan comes along and tempts Adam and Eve? No. Here was the key to get into the human race and bring sin and death and destruction. We go back to Genesis and see that very clearly. Brothers and sisters, be not deceived. Do not succumb to the error that we learn sin. Brothers and sisters, based on the authority of God's word this morning, we were born in sin. Amen? We were born in sin. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Romans. He You see, you've heard me say this before. I didn't teach my children to scream. I didn't teach my children to go and pull their sister's or brother's hair. I don't have to teach those things. They come naturally. It just happens. Why? Because we're fallen. We have a sin nature planted within us. That can be broken this morning, praise God, by the blood of the Lord Jesus. And believing on Him, that chain can be broken. You will be hated for my name's sake. Don't be too shocked if you are mocked, if you are laughed at. If this world becomes designed to make life difficult for the believer, it's coming, folks. Is the Bible in error when it says the days may come where we can't buy and sell? Is that just a figment of imagination that the writer came up with? Of course not. That's in the Word of God. It's truth. But these things will come upon us. Why? Because the believer is hated. It's Satan versus God. Brothers and sisters, we fight not against flesh and blood, but against powers and principalities that are at war in the heavenlies. The messengers of Satan, the messengers of God, are at a war, and they're at war over your soul and mine, out to deceive and destroy. Count it a privilege to be hated for the cause of Christ this morning. Count it a privilege. Thank the Lord. How many times do we see the Apostle Paul give testimony? I'm just so thankful to be counted worthy to suffer for the name of Christ. Can we really embrace that this morning? It's pretty hard. It's not nice to have our fingers cut off and our toes cut off and our legs cut off and our tongues pulled out. And those are some pretty nasty things. But there are people in our world that are experiencing those things, and that might come here too. Because the believer, a representative of God, is a hated individual. He says, goes on here. He says that many will be offended. And I really believe, and I love studying eschatology and the scriptures and somehow how these some of these things fit together. And I don't have all the answers, by the way. But I believe this is the real sorting that's going to go on in the world and in modern day Christianity. Because the trials and the afflictions that will come our way are going to sort out who the real believers are and who aren't. Many will be offended. Can't hack it. Aren't going to go there. I'm going to turn my back on God and go the other way because it's just too great. I declare to you this morning, you can stand. If you grasp on and cling on to the name of the Lord Jesus, you can be preserved till the end. Hallelujah. You can be delivered so that when that great day of the Lord comes and the Lord appears in glory and we go on here, we see that it's going to happen like lightning. That's what Jesus says, not Kevin's interpretation. That's what Jesus says. It's going to happen like lightning. You and I can be removed in the twinkling of an eye to be with the Lord forever. You can be. I ask you this morning, do you choose to be? Because God has not violated your ability to make a decision. He allows you to make a decision. Are you going to serve me? Are you not? God loves you so much that He wants each one of us to serve Him and give our lives to Him. But He allows you that choice. He allows you the choice to say, no, I'm going my own way. I can do it my own. I can handle life myself. I can get through this. I can somehow fight through life. I'll get there. Yeah? And that's literally what we're doing. We're battling whatever's going on, and we're fighting for this, and we're fighting for that, and we're fighting for this doctrine, and we're fighting for that ideology, and we go here, and we go there, and we're running to and fro, and we go to the next place to get the next fix to somehow prop us up. I'm telling you, come to Jesus Christ this morning and get your final fix and walk in glory. And you can move on in Jesus Christ from here, and you don't have to run after everything in the world and run after everybody to find out if there's a prop. I'm telling you, Jesus Christ is our prop, and he can prop you up. All you need to do is surrender unto him. You will be hated for my name's sake. Many will be offended. It'll sort us out. Many false prophets are going to arise, shall deceive many. And because, get this, because iniquity, or a way of sinful way of doing things, because that's going to abound, the love of many will wax cold. Dear brothers and sisters, this is one of my pleas to each one of us, that we are willing to open our hearts up and allow the Spirit of God to reveal in our hearts where there is some form of iniquity, some form of continuing generational thing that could be there, some form of iniquity, a way of doing things that we think is satisfactory unto God. Are you willing to open your heart and analyze that? Examine yourself, Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Examine yourself. Not somebody else, not the person sitting beside you. Examine yourself. Take a good look at your heart. Where are you at? Are you willing to allow the Spirit of God to reveal what's in your heart that is a continual form of iniquity or way of doing things that takes you away from God? It doesn't happen fast, always, but it's a distraction. And because of it, Jesus says, the love of many shall wax cold. When you come to the cross and all the rubbish and garbage is removed out of your life, that's wonderful. I rejoice with you. But make sure when that happens, God is going to require of us responsibility when in the process of the rubbish, the sin, the bondage, the garbage, the whatever is getting removed by the blood of the Lamb, don't hide behind the commandments of God that he gives us instructions to follow and say we got to remove that too. I've heard way too much of that in the past number of years, and the results of getting rid of everything, including, don't misunderstand me, yes, we got to get rid of sin. I'm all for that. I'm with that. But in the process of getting rid of sin, you cannot get rid of the Word of God and think you're going to inherit the blessing of God. It doesn't work. Because God requires us to walk in truth and in righteousness and in holiness. Replace that which has been removed with truth, the Word of God. Embrace it. Grab it. That's where some of your freedom is at. Grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. But he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. If you endure in Jesus Christ, living by faith, putting your full faith and trust in him, you're going to make it. So the Bible says, he that endures to the end is going to make it. Is it not exciting to us this morning to know that we can make it? That we can get through to the end? That we can be part of that band that's going to be gathered together whether you're going to have to be come up through a 18 inches of ground out in a cemetery, or whether you're going to be just wrestled out of your bed and you're going to be gone at night, or when you're driving down the road, you're going to be gone. I don't know how it's going to happen. But you can be delivered. You can make it through this morning. The only way is through Jesus Christ. I want to lift up the name of Jesus this morning, because that is the only way you will make it. That is the only way you will get through. You can't believe in some dead idol. You can't believe in some dead God. And there's all kinds of them in our world this morning. Yesterday and today and tomorrow. There's all kinds of deadness out there. It will not bring you through. It is only this. Praise God, we heard it from our young people this morning. This living Jesus Christ, that as he rose in the power of resurrection, as God raised him up, the Bible says, so too you can walk in that newness of life and make it and get through. May the Lord be praised. Lord bless.